delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
With Progressive Snapshot, you could save on auto insurance rates by driving safely, which is great because you're rarely rewarded for just being you. Ever get rewarded for being left-handed? No. You get to use weird scissors. Your reward for being a Capricorn? Cold birthdays that conflict with the holidays. And your reward for quickly responding to every work email? More emails. But with Snapshot, even left-handed Capricorns with proper email etiquette could get rewarded for good driving. So download the Progressive app today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a history-making moment on the final night of the Democratic National Convention when Vice President Kamala Harris accepts the nomination. The race tightening between Harris and Donald Trump. Candidate RFK Jr., who's polling in the single digits, is expected to suspend his campaign this week. ABC's Rachel Bade is at the DNC on the possible impact.
The conventional wisdom is that it's going to help Trump. There are a lot of RFK supporters who voted for Trump in 2020 and 2016, and that they will basically go home. But I can tell you that basically we asked RFK supporters, who's your second choice? We've got Harris at 32%, higher than Trump at 18%, but a whopping 34% saying someone else, and another 14% saying they won't vote.
The FDA has authorized updated versions of the COVID vaccine. New doses could be available in the coming week. And in Egypt, ceasefire talks resumed, but gaps remain between Israel and Hamas over who controls security in Gaza after the war. This is ABC. We're injured. In Virginia, the husband of a woman last seen on July 31st led away in handcuffs by police.
As police in Manassas Park, Virginia continue to search for 28-year-old Matma Kafli Bhatt, the missing mother of a one-year-old, they've named her husband as a person of interest. Police Chief Mario Lugo says that's after a lot of police legwork.
Our investigators have executed over 10 search warrants and conducted hundreds of interviews related to this case.
Those search warrants include the family home where a tent has been set up in the backyard. The chief saying the husband has not been cooperative despite reporting his wife missing weeks ago. So far, no sign of her. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
In Australia, a passenger was arrested after opening the emergency exit door of a Jetstar plane after the flight landed in Melbourne. The passenger then walked along a wing before sliding down a jet engine to the tarmac. He was later detained by ground staff and taken into custody by police. Police say charges will be filed soon. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable Scent Beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Biana's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. The Wisconsin School District has been operating at a deficit for the last 3 years.
A letter sent Tuesday to families in the Monona Grove School District says the deficit was only discovered after a review of district finances by new superintendent Tanya Frederick. The Madison Area District's board has taken responsibility, but board president Elizabeth Cook says members were unaware of any problems until the review was done in July. Cook says the board violated several of its own policies by allowing spending to go unchecked. Over the last 3 years, $7.9 million of the district's fund balance has been used, leaving just $2.5 million, or 4% of the operating budget. That's far short of the 15 to 25% of the district budget required by board policy. There is no evidence that district money was used by anyone for personal gain. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Residents in the Toma School District will be asked to vote on a massive referendum this fall.
The school board voted Monday to put a $177 million spending increase on the fall election ballot. That money would go towards a new high school, converting existing schools into a middle school and elementary school, and renovations and improvements. School administrators say the upgrades will keep the district operating in the long term and that people were receptive to the plan this spring. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A former Wisconsin Rapids school counselor will serve prison time for child sexual assault.
A Wood County judge sentenced Christopher Bundy only to 3 years in prison and 4 years on extended supervision. The 54-year-old was found guilty of child enticement, sexual contact, and sexual assault of a student by school staff after pleading no contest to the charges earlier this spring as part of a plea deal. He's also been ordered to pay court costs and restitution to the victim, who did read an impact statement during Tuesday's sentencing. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sunshine just won't stop, with high temperatures slamming into the upper 70s. Clouds increase tonight, with chances of spotty showers or some storms early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, we'll become mostly sunny, with high temperatures rising right back to the upper 70s. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Woo! Talk about a week in 4 days! And we're not even done yet, gang! Crop tour results are still being collected as scouts converge on Rochester, Minnesota. I gotta be honest with you, I do not envy the next part. Lots and lots of math. Live from Crop Tour Day 4 via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, coverage continues with Brian Grady and Chip Flory. And later on, we'll sneak a markets conversation in too as well. I'm outstanding guest host Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk for this week. We'll get a little Chip tomorrow for sure. Tomorrow's PM show, he and Brian Grady are going to go over all of the details, their thoughts, their hopes and dreams, all of the things the Crop Tour meant to them, including some numbers, observations. You know, it's going to be a great show. Tomorrow afternoon, don't miss the PM hour. It's just less than 24 hours away, people. Set a calendar reminder if you need one. The markets, I don't know. We had some strength in the dollar. I think that had an impact today. We've got several things in the news here. There's also, and Dan Vaught mentioned that this morning, the Canadian rail strike. That's a big deal up there, folks. No sign, obviously, at this point of how long it might last. If we knew how long it was going to last, there wouldn't be any uncertainty involved. I get it. We COG Jim Wiesmeyer said we would begin to feel economic repercussions here in the U.S., starting in the ag sector, but then quickly rippling out from there, if that Canadian strike goes on for 2 weeks. Jim, and speculative, to be fair to Herr Wiesmeyer, but about 2 weeks, if that strike goes on, man, it's trouble. And then, in addition, you've got, in the news, Jim wrote, ports from Houston to Boston are thinking about striking as well. They've set a deadline for September 30 for contract negotiations and yada, yada, yada. With the striking, when we talk about inflation,
I asked the question a week or so ago, how come we're not seeing inflation in corn futures, in our cash bids? Well, it's because the inflation isn't coming from those materials. It's coming from the shipping, the extra logistics. The post-pandemic world that we live in apparently is more expensive than the one is before. And guess what, gang? You shut down shipping across Canada, and then you had a port strike from Houston to Boston. Now we're talking inflation, and this could cause some real economic harm. We got to talk to somebody about it. If nothing else, me and Wiesmeyer will talk about it tomorrow morning on the Friday free-for-all. In the meantime, let's get to this afternoon's news before we get to Brian Grady. Strength in the U.S. dollar weighed on wheat futures in today's trade. Futures did pair losses by the end of the session. The announcement of the massive rail strike in Canada pressured wheat futures early. Weekly export sales were up 45% from the previous week and 63% above the four-week average. You're going to see a trend here, good people. As we go along, export sales this week reported by USDA were pretty good, especially in the corn and beans. And here we've got wheat export sales up 45% from the previous week, 63% above the four-week average. And still, December HRW wheat futures, 6¾ cents lower, 529 to the quarter. December SRW wheat down 8½ cents to 535½. September spring wheat fell 13 to close at 568¼. That general commodity weakness and the higher U.S. dollar also pressured corn futures. Scouts on day three of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour found an average corn yield of 204.14 bushels per acre in Illinois. That marks a fresh Crop Tour record high for Illinois. USDA reported weekly export sales of 119,000 metric tons for 23-24 and 1.3 million metric tons for 24-25. Boy, howdy, there we go. That's for the weekend of August 15. Still, December futures closed below support at 394, suggesting building bearish momentum. What are we doing? September corn futures 4 cents lower, 371½. December corn down 4¾ cents to 393½. March corn futures closed at 411½. That's down a nickel and 1½ cent on the day. The entire soy complex was under pressure today, with soybean meal posting sharp losses. Scouts found soybean pod counts in a 3-foot by 3-foot square averaged 1,419.1 for Illinois. That's up from 1,270 last year and the 3-year average of 1,266.7. USDA reported net sales reductions of 43,700 metric tons for 23-24 and export sales, get this, 1.7 million metric tons for 24-25. November beans closed below support at 964½, which is backed by the recent low of 955. September soybeans were 21¾ lower at 941¼. November beans slipped 20 cents to 961½. January beans closed at 979½. That's down 20¼ cents. When I said before, man, when we've got the market going lower amid solid, we've been looking for solid export demand. Here it is. 1.7 million metric tons of soybeans sold in the export sales report. 1.3 million metric tons of corn. And yet, both futures market lower on the day. Might have something to do with the big yields coming out. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't even want to go there. December cotton today, 101 points lower, 69.34. On your livestocks, October fat cattle, $1.27½ higher, 175.90. Sept feeders, 252½ higher, 238.20. And October lean hog futures today, 347½ higher at 79.62½. With that, here's an industry spotlight.
Mary Gums is an agronomy innovation leader for Corteva. Tar spot, Mary, is around again this year. And it's going to be around again next year. What's the most effective way to manage that risk?
Number one way to manage tar spot, Chip, is to plant a highly tolerant hybrid. So you want to look at the hybrids you have offered to you and see if the company that you're buying from has a tar spot score. Pioneer rates our hybrids for tar spot. We can do this because we have a very wide product plot network across the Corn Belt. And so we can see how our products perform both under heavy tar spot pressure and with lighter pressure as well.
All right. Tolerance is one thing, but sometimes a well-timed fungicide program is very important, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Something like Approach Prima is very effective in managing tar spot. Looking at the timing, you want to make sure that you're going to have your product out there in time to protect your yield, protect the plant during grain fill. And it's kind of challenging because tar spot came in very early this year. And we have a lot of questions about when should I spray? Should I spray now, even though my corn might be at V8? But we're seeing tar spot on the lowest leaves in the field, or do I wait until tassel or R1 or R2? And that's a really great question to ask your local Pioneer agronomist or your local Pioneer sales professional. We have some different programs tracking disease progression and fungicide timing program that lets you really do the best profitability scenario timing on your fungicide.
Yep, get out there and take a look. Mary, where can listeners go for more information?
They can go to pioneer.com or, again, your local Pioneer field agronomist or Pioneer sales professional.
Perfect. Thank you, Mary. That is Mary Gums, agronomy innovation leader at Corteva.
Now, listeners, you may have noticed that despite the fact we had scouts in the fields in Iowa yesterday and today, we have reported no early results from Iowa. That's how we do it. We're waiting until we get the eastern leg and the western leg to get their samples put together. And there's that math I was talking about. We'll get the Iowa results tonight. We'll talk to Brian Grady next.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed, distributed exclusively by BASF.
At Case IH, we know you work hard all year to maximize your yield at harvest. And to do that, you need a combine that works as hard as you do. That's why we built the new AF11 with more horsepower, more efficiency, and more capacity than any other combine out there. Plus, built-in automation to harvest more easily than ever before. To do more with every engine hour, you need equipment that's as good as you are. You need the best in your field. Visit your local Case IH dealer for more on the AF11.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialize technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend now. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Pioneer. Pioneer combines cutting-edge research with one of the largest local testing programs in the industry to help farmers succeed. Pioneer, what's next happens here.
But that's how it goes. All right, quick correction here. This from Chip Flory. Thanks for listening in, Chip, wherever you may be. We released Iowa 1, 4, and 7, crop districts 1, 4, and 7 last night. That's right. That's right. But we will get a total Iowa number all together later on tonight. We're waiting on Brian here. He's working to get a signal going, which leaves me a little bit of opportunity to review the Long Island Declaration. The following, although not prescriptive, should guide conduct and intention when seeking provision on crop tour. Successful completion of all five will result in bragging rights and a smug sense of satisfaction. The five declarations. Number one, no chain restaurants. Number two, the town in which the restaurant is located must have a population less than 500. Pickups must be present in the parking lot. Number four, get the special. And number five, if a farmer is sitting alone, politely approach. Ask if you may join him or her. These are the five declarations included in the Long Island Declaration of Crop Tour. May they forever stand. Brian Grady. Have we got Brian Grady standing by?
Davis, I'm here.
All right. Let's talk about the Long Island Declaration. How did lunch treat you today?
Lunch was great. I didn't check off all five or whatever you had on your list there. I'm not sure where you came up with the list, but
it's not my list. It was a scout that came up with it, actually, over on the west.
I got maybe three of the five. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. A three out of five. What'd you have?
I had the chicken fried steak stack.
Oh, baby. You had me a chicken fried steak, and then you throw stack on that. What was stacked on the chicken fried steak?
It's a platter of hash browns with chicken fried steak, sausage gravy, and then eggs on top of that.
Wow.
You ate in New Hampton, didn't you?
I did every year. Wonders.
See, Chip already piping in as well.
Yeah, the population's way over 500. I don't know what it is, but it's well above 500. Yeah, so I missed on that one. All the tables were.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the tables were crammed, and so there was no farmer sitting by himself.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, there was nobody sitting by themselves, and so I missed on those two, but the others I'm good with.
You know, and I would maybe argue that the bar is set a little bit too low at population less than 500. I don't know. We may need to bring in the Council of Advisors for this, but I think we can get it worked out. It sounds like you did pretty well, and I bet it was delicious, too.
Oh, always is. Always is. That's an annual stop for me.
Yeah.
And many, everybody that's coming up Highway 63 there through Iowa, that seems to be pretty popular.
I think you've got one Chip Flory's mouth watering right now just thinking about it.
My scouting mates, they got pie, but I couldn't bring myself, you know, in the younger years, I would get pie on top of that, but,
heck yeah.
I'm getting too old for that. I can't stomach all that anymore.
Well, I'm sure that the Iowa crop has given you a chance to burn some of that right back off immediately. Now, we spoke at length this morning and yesterday. We were talking about Illinois, that the huge corn and the soybean yields there. I don't know. I feel like we kind of covered it. If there's anything else you got to get out on that, now's the time. Otherwise, let's talk Iowa.
No, let's move on.
Yeah, okay, good. So you started somewhere in the neighborhood of Iowa City at sunup. How many stops have you made up to this point? Where are you? Are you near your destination?
Yeah, we're close to Rochester. We're done for the day. We made nine stops in Iowa, so I had a split route. The rest of my team did the far northern portion of Iowa and into Minnesota. So, we made nine stops from just north of Cedar Rapids up to Sumner in northeast Iowa.
Okay, very good. Usually rather garden-like through that stretch there. What were your observations this year in the corn?
We had quite a bit of variability. Our average yield was 202, so that's strong. But the range was 145 to 255, so there was quite a bit of variability. All over the place with the yields. But when it averages out, it comes to 202. So, we had a strong route today. The maturity, I think, was probably the biggest thing. The further north we got along that route, the corn maturity declined. So I it should finish fine. Most of it that we sampled, I don't think there's probably an issue there, but it was notable. The stuff we sampled early on was dented and not the case dough stage when we got up further north.
Okay. Is it a development thing or a planting date thing?
Yeah, planting date. They had some struggles, just getting slowed down and those types of things. And when they got it in, it was later than what they wanted. Some of them have a really good crop. It just needs longer to finish.
Chip was talking about ear sets earlier this morning, and I found it very interesting. Variability in ear sets, I believe, if I remember him saying it correctly. Variability in ear sets can often lead to variability in yield. Has that been your experience as well? Am I saying that right?
Some of that crop that we sampled later on in our route today, as we got further north, the ears were really set low on the stocks. Had to bend down to get some of the ears instead. And I'm not tall by any means, and instead of reaching up, normally shoulder level or so or above is pretty normal. Some of them were set pretty low.
Chip, do I hear you in the background there? You want to talk about low ear sets?
Yeah, no, I saw some of that today as well. And it's just on those low ear sets, what it is the crop just gets off to a really slow start. And it just had too much water to work through, and temperatures probably weren't pushing that crop early when it decided that it was time to set that ear.
Brian, you passed right through an area last year where, when you and I spoke, and I mentioned it yesterday, you found some drought that kind of snuck up that nobody had really expected. How consistent are these fields? Are you seeing excessive amounts of drowned out spots? Any surprises, I guess, is what I'm asking in the Iowa corn crop on your side?
No, nothing on that side of things, Davis. Okay. Probably the surprise was the extreme variability that we had in our yield checks and then that lack of development as we got further north. I think that I kind of knew it, but still to see it, the difference between everything else we'd pretty much sampled through the week, it was notable.
Yeah.
Brian, talk to me about kernel depth.
Kernel depth seemed really good, actually. I didn't see an issue with that. Some of the less mature, it hasn't had time yet. So, that's to be determined on those ears, but, generally the kernel depth was fine.
Yep. Okay. Anything else you want to say about that corn? Cause we got to move on to beans or we're going to run out of time.
No, we can go to beans.
Okay. Observations.
Well, our, pod average was 1595 on my route, so almost 1600. Yeah. We saw some heavily potted soybeans, just a continuation of everything that we've seen the three previous days as we moved westward from western Ohio. Heavily potted soybeans, green, lush, pretty uniform. Mm-hmm. Boy, there's a lot of factory out there.
Yeah. Plumpness-wise, how are we doing? This is the point where we could put a little more on them if we get a little rain. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. They still need to plump up, definitely, but the process is underway. So a rain definitely wouldn't hurt them.
Yeah. Yeah. How does it compare to the Illinois bean crop, which was also pretty good?
Oh, along my route, the Iowa today was way better than yesterday for Illinois, but I must have drew the short straw with my route yesterday through Illinois because everybody else found just extremely high pod counts, and that wasn't the case. We had what I would consider average pod counts along my route in Illinois yesterday. Today's are well above average for Iowa.
There were some spots in the opposite corner of Iowa and in that area of Nebraska as well that Chip was worried about weed pressure last year. This year he felt much better about it, much cleaner fields. Weed pressure in northeast Iowa?
I'll say the same thing I've said earlier is that there's more, I think, more volunteer corn out there, more water hemp on this side. But it's mostly cosmetic, I think. I don't think it's going to have a yield impact. This is, we're not talking about fields overrun with pressure. We're just talking about cosmetically, as you look at it, it's not as clean as it has been in years past.
Well, Brian, we will speak with you again tomorrow afternoon on the PM edition of AgriTalk when we're kind of wrapping everything up for Crop Tour this week. Travel safe the rest of your journey there. Enjoy Rochester and have fun with all that math later on tonight, buddy boy.
All righty. Thanks, Davis.
That's Brian Grady, Eastern leg of the tour director. We got Chip Flory next. Stick around.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 6¾ cents lower at 5.29¼. December SRW wheat softened 8½ cents to 5.35½. September corn futures were 4 cents lower at 3.71½. December corn softened 4¾ to 3.93½. September soybean futures 21¾ cents lower on the day, 9.41¼ at the close. Novi beans down 20, 9.61½. December cotton today was 101 points lower, 69.34. On your livestock's October fats, $1.27½ higher at 175.90. Sept feeders 2.52½ higher at 2.38.20. And October lean hog futures today, $3.47½ higher at 79.62½. Try ProFarmer.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sunshine just won't stop, with high temperatures slamming into the upper 70s. Clouds increase tonight, with chances of spotty showers or some storms early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, we'll become mostly sunny with high temperatures rising right back to the upper 70s. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Zitavo Soybean Seed, distributed exclusively by BASF. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here in behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. This just in, huge announcement. Yes, confirmed. Chip will be part of the Friday free-for-all tomorrow morning. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Flory, with Michelson as the moderator. You're not going to see shows like this very often, folks. Do not miss the Friday free-for-all tomorrow morning, 10:06 Central Time, on your favorite ag radio station or your preferred digital device. Having shed that shameless plug, let me bring in my pal Chip. How you doing?
Doing good, buddy. Doing real
Chip
well.
Chip Flory, Western Leg Tour Director, and 1 week out of the year, he leaves us as usually you're the host of AgriTalk Radio, as I understand it here.
Yeah,
sure do miss you, buddy.
Yep.
We need to talk about lunch. I hit Brian with lunch first thing. Fair is fair. How did lunch serve you today?
Well, I tell you what, I did not get the population.
Okay.
We were over 500, but
one.
it was not a chain.
Okay.
It was, oh geez.
The pickups must be present in the parking lot. That would be the next one.
Well, it was
there.
Main Street. It was on Main Street, a little Mexican cantina there in Pine Island, Minnesota. Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
I had the carnitas tacos.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Well, we've been eating like crazy out here on Crop Tour at night. Good grief. Beef on beef on beef. It's been fantastic, the meals at night, but it was time to throw something a little bit different down there.
Sounds like you need a little trout. That's what I like to do. When I get staked out, I reach for trout. And if I can get an Oscar, I'll take it. A little crab on top.
Right. Oh, it was agaves. That's what it was. Agaves in Pine Island. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds very exotic. Excellent. Yeah. That's very exciting. Yeah. Well, and one of the things, you know, we're kind of making a silly thing out of this Long Island Declaration and whatnot, which, by the way, thank you to Greg from Long Island, wherever you may be, for giving us the Long Island Declaration. It all came out of the Flory pickup truck a few days ago. But seriously, this is an opportunity for us to sort of do our part, and it wouldn't be a massive influx of cash into these small town restaurants. But, man, they need us now more than ever, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It was very nice family in there today, and they took care of us like we were family. It's fantastic. Give them a shout.
Yep. I love it. Okay. Let's talk crops. You correctly corrected me in when I said that we weren't reporting Iowa results. We did report Iowa results just from the westernmost three vertical crop districts, 7-4-1, if memory serves. Is that right?
Exactly.
7-4-1?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you need to talk about that anymore?
You know, it was a good corn crop over there. The northwest part gave us a bit of a preview of what we were going to get into in Minnesota because they were so wet early in the spring. The northwest district is the only one that was down from a year ago, down 3.28%, came in at 176. So a little disappointing there. 195 in the west center part of the state, a big improvement over the year before, and then a better crop down in the southwest part of the state in crop district 7, 191.6.
Is that sort of flipped on its head just a little bit from the usual tour findings?
You're exactly right. It used to be that you would you'd go crop district 1 would have the highest yield, west central second highest, and then crop district 7 would sometimes come in a distant third, but with all the new hybrids and all the new management and everything that those guys are doing down there, Davis, when we started doing Crop Tour out there, we joked around, some of us, that, you know, we would stumble on what those guys could do down there in southwest Iowa. We'd stumble across that every now and then. Then we'd look at land prices in southwest Iowa and kind of joke around and say, geez, we ought to buy every acre we can because before too long, that part of the world is going to be growing corn right along with the rest of Iowa, or better.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's an interesting thought there. So you were super impressed with the level of weed control among the Nebraska soybean growers. Were you equally as impressed once you crossed the border into Iowa? I don't recall.
Yeah, it's really pretty good. They had a lot of struggles, and they did a real nice job taking care of the weeds. And where there is an escape, and the weeds got away from them, it really gets away from them. It's kind of a filthy field here or there. But, man, seriously, count them on one hand on the drive from southwest to northwest Iowa.
I like the sound of that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we go ahead and move on to your observations from today? I guess I don't have a real clear picture of where you were. You took some samples today, right?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Absolutely.
Fill us in.
Split a route again with Nathan Service, and I was instructed by one Miss Emily Carlin to give a shout out to Nathan because he pulled a bunch of samples this week, entered the data, drove, was kind of was kicking butt out there. So she wanted to shout out to him. And on the eastern side, Emily's giving a special shout out to Richard Guzzi. Attaboy, Richard.
All right.
Yeah, so I split that route with Nathan today, and he took the first half. I took, well, maybe he took the first two thirds. I took the last third, but ugly, man. It was ugly on the drive from to north of Mankato. We got on Highway 169 and drove up to Highway 19, and then turned to the east, and it was ugly in Minnesota the whole drive. Corn doesn't have good color. Soybeans, it's kind of hard to tell until you walk out in them and they're knee high or maybe. We did see some beans that were a little bit better, but generally speaking, my route today stunk. I had Denny with me today, Denny Rollenhagen, and he was doing the beans, but he had an average pod count off the stops that we made at 800. Half of what Brian found. Half.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what Brian found. So
short plants will make beans, though, won't they? It's just, absolutely. I guess they're limited in how much real estate they've got to offer.
That's exactly right. And Denny made a point of showing me one of the samples in particular, because normally the distance between the nodes, call it 2.5, maybe 3 inches. On these beans, they were 3/4 to an inch, the spread. So that field had a good pod count. It looked pretty good. I hope they can get the header low enough to get all the beans that were down on the bottom stems. But for the most part, it really looked pretty good out there. But the corn, Davis, we pulled a bunch of samples, or pulled our 8 samples, and we had an average of just 148.
Wow. Okay. This after last year. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And, a year ago, Minnesota did 185, USDA number. Minnesota did 185, and USDA's got them steady with year ago this year at 185. And maybe I just had the short straw, but I didn't see it. I know that Brent Judish, who's doing a great job running the Western leg out here. I'm working for Brent this week. There's no question about it.
Yours is an honorary title, isn't it, Chip?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And but I know that Brent saw some pretty tough corn, and maybe 165 to 170 was his lunchtime average. But his beans were not good either. His beans were in the mid 850. So we saw some tough crops today. Yeah, Jay Merriman, who is out there running around, called me out, and he says, "I've never seen this much yellow corn in my life."
Wow.
It's out of fuel. It, and even some of the fields that look pretty good, from the road, you walk out into them a little ways and you can see the deficiencies start to kick in. There's ponded out areas, washed out areas. Talked with Randy when he was coming in here at the hotel, and they pulled a zero today because they ended up, after they went past the end rows, 35 paces down some corn, down the row of corn. When they got to that 35th pace, they were in a spot that was drowned out, and that's where they pulled the sample. That's how we do it.
Yeah. It sounds like the way that my conversations with you and Brian have ended in each segment this week has been, well, you know, if we get a little rain, we can plump up these beans a little bit. Little rain, and we can push these through to the finish. Well, I don't care what you do. A little rain isn't going to put nitrogen in the soil, and it isn't going to make the beans taller, Chip.
Right. Yeah, and the bean crop is, I mean, we didn't see hardly any blooms at all, so it's done doing part of the work. And now it's got to fill those pods. It's got some moisture to do that up here, in most locations. So we'll see how it finishes off, but boy, that was pretty eye-opening up here in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to hear your thoughts tomorrow afternoon when you and Brian Grady join us. It's less than 24 hours away now to talk about Crop Tour from the rear view perspective. We'll have some markets with Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures next on AgriTalk.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier-looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text PREP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text PREP to 42424. That's PREP to 42424.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations, so it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series, it's never ending, we need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatestyields.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed, distributed exclusively by BASF.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Your pal Davis Michelson. Boy, howdy. We got a crop tour going this week today. Here's the thing. We've talked to Brian Grady. We've talked to Chip. Okay. I still have questions. I don't know. I don't understand the market movements here today. We had a really good export sales report. Now I understand there's some dollar strength. There's some spillover pressure. I just don't know. I have questions. The good news is Oliver Slope, our usual Thursday analyst, is here to hopefully provide some perspective and to, talk us off the ledge here a little bit. Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. Welcome to AgriTalk for an extended remix conversation.
Yeah. Here, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, now, I mean, as you mentioned, we did an export sales report, and it's this week, right? The first week's new crop sales have been really phenomenal for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's becoming a trend. The old crop's a different story, obviously, but the new crop coming in above the top end of expectations. Really would have thought that would be able to offer a little bit more support. And, same for corn. I think we're above the top end of expectations there, but, sold off today. But corn, more or less has been a stick in the mud. So I'm not expecting a whole lot in the corn market. Beans, I think, are still a little bit of a wild card. And I think you could probably make the case in either direction.
Yeah, indeed. Well, the cattle market sure looked awful stout today. And it does feel a little bit like maybe, feedlots accepting maybe some lower bids. You got to do something at some point. What have we got going on here in the cattle futures?
Well, the cattle market's been under a lot of pressure here over the last 3 weeks. I've been talking with Chip about it for the last month and a half. You guys had one of my partners, Ben Rand, on talking about, maybe a dark cloud looming over the cattle market. Now, seasonally, August is a tough time of year for the cattle market to really find its footing. And I think the reason for that is, there's a lot of headline risk here this year. You've got the election, you've got Middle East stuff, the economy, and, I don't know that the funds really want to be involved in a more meaningful way with all that looming over the market. I think that's what has led to the downdraft. However, there's a flip side to that coin. We've fallen really hard, really far, really fast, and I think we probably overshot it to the downside. So I wouldn't be
probably a little bit of a market in live cattle and feeder cattle. I think the fundamental backdrop is still, you know, relatively firm, and I think we can see a nice retracement back to some of the breakdown levels.
That sounds great. I want to go back to the grains just a little bit, because, you know, when you're talking about that fund positioning, we here on AgriTalk, and I'm sure, you know, you've mentioned it as well, it's that fund short position, and they're holding on to it really tight. And from what I'm hearing you say, at least in the cattle market, it feels like, you know, you don't want to take too much risk right now. You don't want to stick your neck out too far. So when we get, you know, 1.7 million metric tons in sales of soybeans, 1.3 on the corn, is it that sort of going down on a day like that, on mid-news like that, is that an indication that those shorts are still just as determined to stick with those positions as they ever were? I think we're losing Oliver. We may just have to leave that as a tease for another day. Joe, let's go ahead and cut him loose. I think the reception has been as good as it's going to be. That was Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures, out on the road with Crop Tour. He's taking samples. That's the thing. He's out there on the road. So I was glad to get as much out of him as we did. My thought here is, if we can go down on bad news, and the spoiler, the caveat for that is the higher dollar. If I had Oliver back, I would ask him, which is this an indication that the shorts are stronger than a higher U.S. dollar? I don't know. I don't even know. This is why we bring on people like Oliver Slope to discuss these matters with us. The other big thing that we discussed with Wiesmeyer this morning was that rail strike. We can't lose sight of what that has the potential to do for our markets. We're seeing declines in the wheats. Dan Vaught this morning in his market discussion with us mentioned that in reference to the wheat. We ended up with spring wheat down double digits, 13 lower in the nearbys, down to a dime lower out to the July 25. Winter wheat's down 6 to 8 cents through that. Is this pressure that we can expect to continue as this Canadian rail strike goes on? Time will tell, but we'll definitely keep up to speed on that. And with that, let's go ahead and look to the National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center. Are we updated here? Updated August 22nd. Here we are. Okay, the 6 to 10 day weather outlook, valid August 28th through the 1st of September. 10 days away, good people. 1st of September, here we go. The temperature outlook looks near normal for, let's call it, western Iowa and all of Nebraska, cutting into just the northwest corner of Kansas there. That's near normal. Below normal, still sticking around right over Montana, over Idaho, over that whole area, Wyoming there, below normal. And then up the east coast, we're above normal temperature-wise in the 6 to 10-day outlook. As far as the precip outlook goes, oh, wow! This is amazing. This is almost the entire Crop Tour area is covered by above normal precipitation in the 6 to 10 day outlook. All those beans that we thought, well, you know, they could plump up a little bit if they get a little bit of rain. I might be looking at that right now. It runs down from Maine clear down to Texas, down into the desert southwest, but the area the Crop Tour is covering, some of those areas in need of rain have above normal precipitation in the 6 to 10 day precip outlook. Whew, hold on to your hats, Grandma. This is going to be a wild one. It's been a great week. Thank you for being here with us. I will be moderating the Friday free-for-all tomorrow morning. Of course, we got to talk about the DNC. We'll have Wiesmeyer and Haney and Flory as a panelist. Thanks so much for tuning into AgriTalk today. Brian Grady, Chip Flory, Oliver Slope, Big Apple Joe, it's me, Davis Michelson. Come back tomorrow morning for more AgriTalk.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life.
You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
This is the famous footwear that makes us actually want to go back to school, with the newest styles from all your favorite brands like Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. You'll find everything kids want, all at prices parents can appreciate, because you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear even has fit experts in store to make sure you get the right size every time. So